have a look at Hosea chapter 2, but we're not going to read the whole chapter. It's quite a lengthy chapter, and the biggest part of it is not pleasant reading either. But we'll look at a few verses and just bring out some points from Hosea chapter 2. And just to remind you that with Hosea, he's actually kind of living out what God is experiencing with Israel at this time. As we go through the minor prophets, we will see that some of the prophets are actually called to live out what God is seeing and what God is feeling, while other of the prophets are just given a word that they speak out, and what they are experiencing is not related personally to what God is giving them to say. But that's not the case with Hosea. Hosea was living out, in one sense, he was living out God's pain in a very real and practical way. And again, that goes to show that you know, when you come to Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about men and women who were miraculously delivered from terrible things, and others who went through difficult things. But it's the same God. And God is with us, whether God delivers us and sets us free from the adversities and the pains of life, or whether God calls us to go through those pains. Mm-hmm. But his grace is with us on the day and every day. And so the first little title that I've got from Hosea chapter 2 is the fact that there is no hiding place from God. There's no hiding place. And sin is ugly. Verse 3, if you have your Bibles there, depending on your translations, it says, "Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst." The Message translation of Hosea 2:3 says this: "Tell her to quit dressing like a whore, displaying her breasts for sale. If she refuses, I'll rip off her clothes and expose her naked as a newborn. I'll turn her skin into dried out leather, her body into Badlands landscape, a rack of bones in the desert." And what Hosea is experiencing here really, and what God is speaking out, is the ugliness of sin. But sin cannot be hidden. Right from Genesis and Adam and Eve, when they first failed, when they first sinned, their reaction was to try and cover up their sin. And that still happens today. People try to cover up their sin. But nothing is hidden from the sight of God. And we sometimes fall into this Western trap of kind of categorizing sin. We might have what we call little sins and big sins. But again, we need to realize that sin is sin. Whatever we call little sins, even those little sins, Jesus would have had to die for. And sin, in whatever form, is ugly. And it was this ugliness that nailed our Savior, Jesus, to the cross. But there is no hiding place. The second point is this, that chasing after sin leads to emptiness. Chasing after sin leads to emptiness. The so-called pleasures of life do not satisfy. They do not fulfill. The person that goes out to enjoy themselves, to get drunk, has to do that time after time, but they can never drink something that will satisfy them. They cannot capture that feeling, whatever that feeling might be. It's like chasing the wind. Verse 7 says, "She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them." That chasing after something that will try and satisfy the flesh, but it will never happen. We can only be satisfied in God, because we are made in the image of God, and the more like God we become through the work of Jesus in our lives and the Holy Spirit, the greater confidence and satisfaction that we have in life. We used to sing a hymn many, many years ago, and I have to confess, certainly in my Bible time days, along with a certain person by the name of Martin Reeves, we were a little naughty with this song. I won't say why. If you can work that out, then that's up to you. But the hymn is called Now None But Christ Can Satisfy. But the third verse went along like this. Anybody remember this hymn? Gwen, can you remember it? Daphne, remember it? Well, can you remember the third verse? You need to, because it's one of the questions for the quiz tomorrow night. But I'll give you the answer. So the third verse is, and Derek, behave yourself, okay? I tried the broken systems, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. This hymn kind of pictures people chasing after sin to try and get satisfied. But it's emptiness, it never happens. The chorus of that hymn says, now none but Christ can satisfy, no other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in thee. And how true that is. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in thee. And John 10 verse 10 says, Jesus came that we might have life and live it to the full. And people that go out partying think that they're living the life, and they think that people who go to church is dull and boring. What a wrong picture they have. Jesus satisfies. Jesus brings life. And so as you see in the first part of this chapter of Isaiah, it's almost depressing reading. There's no hiding place from sin. Chasing after sin leads to emptiness. And as we move through the chapter, we find hope. There is a place of hope, even through all that's happening. In verse 18, it says, then I will give her back her vineyards. I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. What a beautiful picture there. I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Again, to understand that, we have to kind of go back to the conquest of Canaan and Joshua. And after they captured Jericho, they went on to a small place called Ai. And they were full of confidence. They thought no one or anything could stand in their way. But when they tried to take Ai, they failed. And if you know the story, it was because of Achan's sin. And the picture that God is giving Hosea here, that in the most desolate place, in the place of rebellion and sin, and the place of struggle, and the place of pain, and the place of hurt, God can open a door of hope. It applied to Hosea. And we'll see as we go through the story of Hosea, how personally that door of hope opened up for him. That represents the door of hope opening for Israel to be restored back to God. And that door of hope is open for you and for me this day. In the worst of places, in the worst of circumstances, God opens a door. And this is true for Hosea, and it's true for us today.